Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Have you ever let your grass grow a little bit too long or that alley turns into a jungle? Then you may have gotten one of those scary notices on your door from the code. Code Compliance is the city agency that makes sure that we all are following the rules when it comes to buildings and properties in San Antonio. What should you do if you receive one of these notice violations? How can residents submit requests and complaints to the city? This is how we all get along in a city like this. We all live so close together. We got to have rules, and we got to make sure someone is following these rules. We're joined by Michael Shannon. He's the Director of Development Services for the City of San Antonio, and Martin Ruiz. He is the Manager of Code Enforcement for the Department of Development Services, and we invite you into our conversation as we talk about the Code of San Antonio, Code Compliance, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and tweet at us at TPR Source. So Michael Shannon, something's happening with the codes in San Antonio. They're going to be updated?
Yes, that's right. So this week, we're presenting to City Council some updated building and property maintenance code. We've been working on them for about a year. They're the national codes that were developed through the International Code Council. And every 3 years, we look at our codes to ensure that we have the right tools in place to work with property owners and work with our citizens and neighbors to make sure we have the latest and greatest safety codes and property maintenance codes. So we're hopeful on Thursday we'll have the updated codes passed by council.
So what's the big change? What's the biggest take-home change?
I would say the biggest take-home change, there's a lot of language in there for property owners and renters of property to ensure that they each know their roles and responsibilities. As you know, the property owner is ultimately responsible for the upkeep of their property, but at the same time, those that are renting the property have to do their share to keep up, make sure the trash is taken out and not in the yard, help mow the grass, those type of things. So we really put a concerted effort into ensuring that each party knows their roles and responsibilities. So that's one of the big changes you'll see in our new code.
Martin Ruiz, you're the manager over code enforcement. What's the biggest violation we have?
We see five, but the most frequent one is overgrown vegetation, as you started.
Oh, stated. Yeah, that's one I got.
and there's overgrown vegetation of all types. There's overgrown properties for abandoned properties, vacant lots, occupied properties, alleys. And by the way, alleys is a responsibility of the adjacent property owner. People often don't know that. This time of year is when we ramp up on vegetation. You have the rain, you have the sun, you have this wonderful weather, so the weeds grow a little bit quicker. So that's the most one that we get this type of
year. You said there were top five. What are the other ones?
We have rubbish. People who put their litter outside for collection, outside of a collection cycle, for an example, that's a violation. The city of San Antonio will not pick up a refrigerator that you put outside or a TV. You have to be in a collection cycle. Outside placement, anything that's meant to be kept outside, you can keep outside, but those things that are not designed to be kept outside, those things will typically attract the attention of your neighbors, the neighborhood association.
You mean like a sofa?
Exactly, a sofa. A sofa.
On the porch?
On the porch, yes. They typically tend to attract feral type of animals, or perhaps they get wet and you'll have a mosquito breeding in a wet sofa, things like that. It reduces property values. We want to ensure that people not only live in a safe environment, but we maintain the housing stock of the city of San Antonio. And those things that are kept outside that are not designed to be kept outside. Another example would be, you heard me talk a little while ago about a refrigerator. If you have a refrigerator and you keep it outside because you're not using it, you got an improved one, those things don't belong outside. So outside placement comes in at number three. Front yard parking is another one. Your front yard are not meant to be parked on.
You mean on the lawn?
Correct, yes. The lawn, your side yard, your front yard. There's provisions where you can park in your side yard, provided you have an improved surface, but if you don't, you cannot do that. And lastly, inoperable vehicles. Inoperable vehicles, just simply, if they're not running, they're a violation.
Okay.
and those are the top five.
And operable vehicles. Okay, we'll talk about each of those. Let me get a caller in on this so we can get the party started talking about code enforcement. The number is 210-614-8980. Rudy has called in. Rudy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Okay. I have Deja Radio going on, Deja Vu Radio. So, Rudy, you got me? Turn off your radio.
Yes, sir.
All right, go right ahead, sir.
Hey. I live around the Woodlawn Park area, and the city decided, before we used to be able to park, like, you know, by the house, like, there was gravel, like, just like a street, and the city decided to install sidewalks. And when they did this, they still left the gravel on the, you know, the part of the property. They put a little bit of dirt and put a little bit of seeds for grass, but, you know, the little bit of dirt, they never removed the gravel. And I got a citation for parking on that dirt that's only like an inch deep.
Okay, so you were parking on the gravel that is on the lawn of the house?
Yes, because pretty much like the street, like, just continued all the way to the fence.
Okay.
Like in the Woodlawn Park area by the casting pool.
Okay. And so you got a citation. So was it a warning or was it a ticket?
It was a warning, but I don't want to get a ticket yet.
Yeah. Okay. So you just want to get clarification about what you can and can't do. So what are Rudy's options there, Martin?
Well, Rudy, thank you for calling, and I'm sorry you're going through this, but let me start off by saying that a lot extends to half of the alley and also half of the street. However, we typically stop at the curb. The city of San Antonio will maintain the street unless you live in a homeowners association or a PUD. But if you have a curb, anything inside the curb, if a vehicle is parked there, it's either blocking a pedestrian sidewalk or it's blocking the right-of-way or it's parked in an unimproved surface. If it's an unimproved surface and it's on your front yard setback, it's probably a violation. You received a courtesy notice probably because the officer understood that there was some transition going on there. But citations are typically no notice, zero violation. In this instance, you received a courtesy notice. There should be a phone number on there. If you contact the officer will be more than happy to explain to you the reason you received that notice of violation, and we'll work with you.
So there are people who have basically paved over their entire front lawns, and that means that that's an improved surface?
Great question. No, you cannot pave over your entire surface. You can't. So there's permeable and impermeable.
Right, and we want the water to be able to penetrate, or otherwise we have a drainage issue.
Exactly. So you can put a permeable surface.
Like gravel
all over your front yard, and that's fine. But you cannot park over 50% of your front yard. If you use an impermeable surface, you can only pave up to 50% of your front yard. And in that instance, the other side you just can't park on. So you can only park on 50% of your front yard setback if you're in a residential home. There's distinctions for commercial and industrial properties, but for residential properties, you cannot pave over your entire front yard. And if you're going to do a permeable surface, you can do the entire thing, but you can only park over 50% of it.
So what is the city's interest in trying to prevent people from parking in their front yard? Why is that something that the city wants to prevent?
Well, several things. Number one, we have a problem with violations. If someone does it, then another person does it. And you may see this across various violation types, from outside placement to setting up things for collection, that people, if they don't know, they'll just assume it's okay. So number one, it reduces property values. If you parked on your front yard, it kills the grass. Number two, if there's infrastructure underneath the yard, you could potentially damage it.
Like pipes?
Correct.
Sewage pipes and also the water pipes that go in there. If you park over them with a heavy vehicle, That's a problem.
Yes, and it also, if it rains, you create tire ruts in there, and it just looks unsightly. So code enforcement, we're mostly health and safety, but we're also quality of life issues. And this is a big quality of life issue that we heard from the citizens of San Antonio. We even upgraded the, we have several performance measures, one of which is our the way that we address concerns. And what we heard from the community is that front yard parking was important to the residents of San Antonio. So we elevated the inspection status for those inspections.
All right. So this is something that people have told their council members, we don't like a lot of front yard parking. It drives down the value of my neighborhood. And so there's rules against that. And there's health and safety reasons against it as well. And so that's part of the rationale behind it. So let me go to another caller, and this is Tom. Tom, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I guess a little different from your previous caller, my area is kind of more in the back towards the house. We have an alley or maybe a drainage ditch type of area, and it is just rot with overgrowth. We haven't received any citations yet, luckily, but we didn't know if it was our responsibility as a homeowner to be maintaining that, because we kind of share that with a bunch of other homeowners kind of along our street, or if it's the HOA's responsibility to kind of cut that down. My worry is, as that overgrowth keeps building and building and building, it's adding areas for snakes, possums, just kind of creatures that I don't want to deal with, you know, when I'm outside playing in my backyard.
So you live in an HOA, a homeowners association.
Yes.
Okay, so that's interesting that they haven't picked up on that. Martin Reese, whose job is it to mow that?
Absolutely, Tom. Thank you. That's a great question. Again, the definition of lot, and this is something that's concerning for residents, but you are absolutely correct, Tom. The responsibility rests with the property owner. Homeowners associations often will take that and they'll address it, but the code addresses the adjacent property owner. So if you have an alley behind your home, you're responsible for 50% of it. Your lot is property line, to half of the alley, to half of the street. So we're asking that you maintain your half of the alley, the sidewalk, and property line to property line.
So you basically have two properties that meet butt to butt. They butt up to each other, and then you just kind of cut it in half, and I'm only responsible for halfway through the alley. It could be an alley, it could be a utility access pathway, but these need to be kept clear at all times.
Absolutely. And average alley is about 14 feet, so you'd be responsible for about 7 feet of that alley to maintain it free of overgrowth and rubbish, refuse, things like that.
You know, so we need to keep these things open for why? He mentioned the concern of animals, but there are other reasons too, right?
So yes, quite simply, it's a public right-of-way. So there needs to be free passage there.
Some sort of CPS, energy, utility vehicles got to get in there, take care of power outages, other things. They need to be kept free at all times. We're going to take a break. We're going to be talking about code compliance some more the rest of the hour. Got a lot of questions here. People want to know about why they got cited, what they can do about a neighbor who doesn't want to do the dirty work of keeping things up to date. You got a question or a comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What questions do you have for our city experts? We can talk about graffiti, yard sales, all these things that make a neighborhood. Call in 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about code compliance. This governs everything from a signage, if you have a business, or whether or not you're having a yard sale too frequently. Every weekend you have a garage sale, someone in the neighborhood, is that a violation? What can you do about that? Keeping your yard nice and tidy. These are rules that we have so that we all get along in our neighborhood, but sometimes you need someone to come in and be the referee. That's code compliance, and they do that with warnings and also sometimes with tickets. How does that work? What can you do to work with your neighbors and your code compliance officers to make sure that we have the living space and the quality of life that we all want? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Got some callers here. Omar is on the line, and Omar, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for answering my call. My question is, what do I do when I see that I already complained and there's nothing has been done and the problem keeps persisting and it's getting worse and worse, and property owner of the building actually is a vacant lot and they have a mobile home, somebody's living in it with no connections, so all the sewage, there's industrial and some completely residential areas. How can I escalate and how can I, who can we talk to and things like that?
How long has this been going on, Omar?
Over 6 months.
Okay, and you've called in and you've talked to these people and you called...
I spoke with them. I already spoke with Code Compliance. There, I actually own the building next to it and they keep taking water from my building. They keep connecting electricity. They get then the school is very close to it and they get drunk at night. They sell stuff. And so I'm just like, I'm worried about anything else happening.
Wow. Omar, thanks for calling in. Let's get you some answers. Michael Shannon is the Director of Development Services for the City of San Antonio. First off, what's your read on that?
Well, thank you for calling in, Omar. Yeah, it sounds like you're dealing with a pretty tough property. Most of the properties that we deal with the violations, they are handled, meaning they come into compliance very quickly. But many of them, like this one, seems to have several issues going on. So the best thing to do is certainly that issue would be escalated up to someone like Martin here. He's one of our code enforcement managers that would take that case. And what you described, some other activity that we might have to bring in the police department if they're stealing water and electricity. Those are not only code enforcement issues. Those could be some criminal issues. Also some people on the property that shouldn't be there. So someone like Martin and our team members would get together and work with you, kind of put a plan together. But it sounds like there's many issues going on. And there are some property owners that just don't want to comply. And that's where we have to escalate our fine structure. We go from $300 fines up to $1,000 fines for each instance. We use the criminal court system as well as the civil court system to really increase that level of enforcement. So if we have a property like the one you're describing, that's where we'll put that plan together to use heavy fines and probably bring in our police department to assist as well.
Martin Ruiz, that call, Omar's call, and that story that he told, that's kind of scary. You know, you have someone living in a mobile home on a vacant lot, they're not hooked up to any utilities, they're stealing your utilities, who knows what's going on in there, look kind of suspicious, and they call Code Compliance to say, you got to do something, and is that, you know, it seemed like this is a tough lift.
It is, and because of that, recently we created the City of San Antonio mobile home inspections team, because we know that there's a need for those mobile homes where they're typically some of our most vulnerable residents, and we want to ensure that we address those inspections quickly. So we want to route them to the correct team. If you get an answer, Omar, and the answer is not one that's to your satisfaction, please call us back. You can call us back at 311 or 210-207-6000. Ask to speak to the code enforcement officer or the supervisor or escalate it to myself, and we'll be more than happy to go back and take a look at it. Sometimes what happens is not visible, like the director said right now.
There's probably some code compliance officers who have been there. They've put notices on the door. They've told these people, you know, what's going on. And basically, you know, they're just going to do what they're going to do.
Yes, and that's when we work with the judicial system. We have a criminal enforcement, we have civil enforcement, administrative enforcement, and we have notices to vacate where we would actually go with someone from human services as well as the police department, because we may execute a warrant to find a better place for them to stay while at the same time abate the violation, secure it, or worst case scenario, demolish it.
Now, you mentioned we have citizens who are part of a vulnerable population. We're having a housing crunch happening here in San Antonio. It's only going to get worse, and people are going to come up with innovative solutions for their own personal challenges. And sometimes it's going to stray into your area. We've got to make sure that in order to protect the quality of life for everyone in a neighborhood, that we just don't let people live wherever they want to in certain conditions. I mean, is that a concern? Is that a rising concern, Michael Shannon?
Absolutely. I think the housing issues in our city are well documented, and certainly we want to make sure that any housing stock, whether it be homeowners or rentals, are up to code, the health and safety codes.
I mean, a homeless encampment, they're not going to worry about being cited for violations of code compliance, right?
No, and that's why, for example, even on homeless encampments, we work, there's a multi-department, city department teams that work together. Code enforcement is one of them. Our Department of Human Services, San Antonio Police Department, we actually have teams that go out when those are found or people call in on those to work to, you know, clean up that area, get them, you know, into better housing or find some housing
and,
for them.
And help them connect with services.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's a big issue for us right now, along with all the other housing needs that we're working on.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Mark. Hey, Mark, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I have a question regarding the officers and how you process or make a complaint. I've called the 311 number before. There are other times I've seen the officers riding around in cars, and I've asked them about certain areas. And can they make a report themselves? Because I say they're riding around, and I just see all this, number one, vegetation growing, and seem like nothing is done. I have called and made complaints, and they've been answered, and they've been addressed. But I wonder about the officers themselves. Can they make a complaint, or is it just a citizen?
All right, so let me go back to Michael Shannon for that. So do we have officers who basically are on patrol looking for violations, or are we waiting for complaints from other citizens?
Well, actually, the proactiveness of our officers is one of the two major components that we strive for. So we want compliance quickly, but our officers are required to be more proactive than reactive, and we track that every day, every month. And what we used to do about 5 or 6 years ago, we were tracking the data, and our officers were about 80% reactive. The work that they did each and every day was reacting to calls, relying on citizens to call it in, and only about 20% was proactive. We've actually flipped that. We're actually 80% proactive now, still handling more calls than ever. But their main job, not only to respond to calls like 311, is to go look for violations and get them corrected before people have to call it in. But, of course, we work together, and it's a good partnership. But being proactive is one of their main jobs.
Not everybody has the means or the back to take care of all the things that their yard needs. What can we do to, like, you know, we got overgrown vegetation, got an alley that's out of control, got all these other problems, got a car that's broken down in front of the house, and we're dealing with maybe someone on a limited income who's not mobile anymore. How do we help these people comply with these rules, Martin?
One of the things that we're very cognizant of as code enforcement officers is exactly what you mentioned. Whenever we come across a situation, we understand that sometimes, especially some of, again, of our most vulnerable citizens, they often have to make a choice between putting food on the table, paying for their medication, you know, much less take care of other expenses, and then we're asking them to either paint their house or do an expensive repair. So officers are trained to be on the lookout for situations where they can provide assistance in terms of, we have a group of officers that work proactively, and they do volunteer type of work on a limited basis. They'll do some vegetation abatement. They'll do some minor cleanup. We work very closely with the 211 United Way, where we try to find resources for them. The City of San Antonio has programs for minor home repair. Within Code Enforcement Development Services, we have a compliance assistance fund where we help those elderly and disabled fix violations of their homes if there can be fixed for a reasonable amount. We work with the human services to ensure that whoever needs somewhere to stay that's safe, we find them somewhere to stay. We never put anyone on the street, and we don't address any type of violation where someone's going to be exposed adversely.
And I'll just add to that, Martin mentioned our compliance assistance fund. So that was created a few years ago by City Council. And really what we do is we find those that are the most vulnerable. They need a roof repair or some plumbing work done. Those aren't cheap. But we use a portion of the fines that are paid out through the court system, through code cases. A small portion of that builds a fund that can then is used to help some of those that are the most needy. They want to comply, but they're struggling, and they need this one job or one repair job to get fixed. So it was a great program that was established about 3 or 4 years ago through City Council.
Can people, like church groups or other organizations, can they say, I want to help? Can, you know, let me know how, you know, can you help bring these people together?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things Martin was alluding to. All of our officers have a list of groups that are helping with these code enforcement things. We get that information to the property owners that need it. And we're always looking for more groups to get into that mix. So if there's any out there that are willing to help those that need it, they can get in touch with us, and we can put them in touch with those individuals.
Okay, taking another break. I got a lot of calls on the board here. We're going to blitz through them when we get back. And the number also is 210-614-8980. We're talking about code enforcement and compliance in San Antonio. It's all of our jobs to make sure that we have the quality of life for you and your neighbor. The Source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about code compliance, and Sherry has called in. Sherry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm calling because we live in a historic district. We actually live right next to a housing complex, and also we have a neighbor who's built a shed in their backyard out of pallets and used old mayoral election signs to kind of create this roof. And you know, we have a lot of neighbors that have dogs on chains and park in front of our house. We're just wondering what code compliance can do to kind of protect us and also our other neighbors that are moving to this developing area.
Sherry, thank you for the call. So someone has a neighbor who is kind of cowboying it on the rules, and someone wants to know, well, what can I do? But, you know, your neighbor is your neighbor, and you don't want them to know that you're the person that called the code on them. So first of all, how do you make sure that does that complaint get passed on, or how does that work? Martin Ruiz, you're the manager of over code enforcement, so go ahead.
Sherry, great question. Thank you. Congratulations on living in a historic district. You must have a beautiful home. Regarding your concerns about the shed, there are standards for historic properties, and I would encourage you to work with the Office of Historic Preservation. They have code enforcement officers that go out and they look for those standards. Now, regarding a shed, a shed can be built without a permit. The way that it was constructed, though, however, concerns me. You may call 311 and we'll go take a look at it. Regarding the dogs, the chain that's Animal Care Services, I can put you in contact with someone, or you can call 311. And if you call 311, an animal care officer will go out there. The dog has to have a correct amount of shade. They need to have a shelter. They need to have water. The chain cannot be too heavy. Can't be a padlock on there. So I don't know what type of dog it is. But yeah, those type of situations, we have various departments that work together with code enforcement. If you contact 311, you can ask for me, or you can ask for the Office of Historic Preservation or Animal Care Services or even code enforcement, because even though it's historic property, we'll still go out and visit it. But thank you for calling, Sherry.
We also a question that Sherry asked, and also goes along with this email we received. Since we are responsible for half of the street, does the parking in front of the street belong to the homeowner? I have a neighbor with up to 7 cars always parking in front of my house. Is that a code compliance issue, Martin?
It can be. The number of vehicles at a home need to be incidental to the residential use, which basically means they need to belong to someone there and they need to be utilized. Now, if you're talking about several vehicles, they all need to be maintained operable. The street is a public place. Anyone can park on the street. You cannot block a sidewalk. You cannot block a mailbox. You cannot block someone's apron. So you have to be aware of those. So there's no limitation as to how many vehicles you can park on the street. You cannot use the street for storage. Having said that, those vehicles, if they're on the property, they need to be they need to belong to someone who lives on the property. Otherwise, potentially, you have a zoning violation where you're storing vehicles. You shouldn't have that many vehicles, but you're able to keep those vehicles so long as they're stored properly, kept properly, and
okay,
maintained
operable. Okay, so does she call code compliance?
Absolutely. Call 311, yes, and we'll go out there and we'll take a look at it.
Okay, because you can take a look and see, are these cars working or what's going on here?
We
deal with that.
We look at some guidelines, but yes, correct.
Okay, so it doesn't hurt to call. It doesn't cost you to call. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's go to another caller. This is Alan. Alan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My complaint or whatever is how hard it is to go fight any of these things. If you're working, the courts are open Monday through Friday, you have to take a day off, and the fine is usually less than what you're going to make that day. There's no Saturday court that I know of.
Fight it. So you want to be able to, if you got cited for a violation, you had been given a warning, it didn't work out for you. So what about fighting this? If you have I think I should be allowed. I want my yard to be overgrown because I have these concerns for the environment or what have you. I mean, who knows? But Michael Shannon, what about fighting you guys?
Well, we understand that sometimes there's a fight involved with the property owner in terms of whether or not they think they're in violation or not. And one of the main tools we use is certainly that notice of violation. That warning is the first one. We tend to educate people on what the code is, try to talk with them, put a plan together. But if that's not the case and you have your due process, you want to go to court, we will set that court date for you.
But if it's on a work day...
That's a tough one. If you want to work with the code officer or the courts to reschedule, if it's a better time, sometimes those can be accommodated. But it is important that we get that addressed quickly. So we understand the challenges that some of our citizens have while taking some time off and getting down to the courts. That's why our goal would really just be how can we work together to come into compliance. But it doesn't fit everybody.
What happens if I just ignore you guys? I don't pay the fine. I don't care. I just go about my life. I leave my cars all over the place and have grass growing all over. What happens then?
Well, unfortunately, for you, if that's you in this case, David, we would continue to racket up some fines and citations. Those numbers get high pretty quickly. There'll also be some criminal cases against you, Class C misdemeanors. If you don't show up to those, there can be a warrant for your arrest through the court system.
This gets serious.
It does, and it escalates. And again, that's not really our goal. Our goal is to find a way to get you into compliance and stay into compliance. But, we do have those tools that the state and the city have given us to help ensure that you do come into compliance. So we've had some long fights over the years or with some properties, and... our job is to continue to try to get that compliance. So we would tell you to buckle up because we're gonna try to get that compliance with you.
And you put a lien on my property?
We can and will, because at the same time, the city has the authority to clean up your violation for you and then charge that to you in addition to some administrative costs. And those fees can get up pretty high as well. So eventually that will be put a lien if you don't pay that on your property. So. Again, these are tools that we can and do use, unfortunately, for some code violators. But again, our goal is to try to encourage you to come into compliance quickly.
Garage sales. I've seen some areas where they have a garage sale Saturday and Sunday every weekend. Is there a limitation on that and that's code compliance enforced?
Yes. Yard sales, you're allowed to have one per quarter. No more than one per quarter.
What's one mean? Like, I can do it on one weekend?
You can have, yes, one event is considered typically 2 days, and they're back-to-back. You can't break them up. It could be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. But they're usually Saturdays and Sundays.
So like one weekend.
You can have it
a
one
quarter.
Weekend. A quarter, yes. So Monday, January through March and April through June and so on. For a maximum of three. Now, the last one, the fourth one, if you want to have a fourth one, it'll be free. So you can have four.
That's if you get the permit.
If you get the permit, absolutely. You're required to have a permit. And we have a team of officers inspecting yard sales. And if you don't have a yard sale permit, you can and probably would receive a citation to appear in court.
But, okay, I see there's no way. All the people I see who are having garage sales are getting permits. And I see How does that work? I mean, I know the rules, I know what you're doing, but Michael, tell me more about, you know, there's obviously a disconnect between reality and the way that you guys run the show.
Sure, and garage sales has been a conversation, even at the city leadership level and our level, for the last several years because of what you just described. Is there's still a lot of people that are not pulling their permits, that they're doing it too often. They've essentially turned their home into a commercial business.
Yeah.
Almost. So the city council...
And that's bad for the traffic and the neighborhood.
Is. And so the city council gave us a few extra officers a couple years ago that we put on the weekend enforcement team. And garage sales is the number one complaint that we're out there trying to find, those illegal garage sales. We increased the number of garage sale citations to discourage people for doing that, but we're still on the lookout for those. So if certainly you have an area or anyone else listening has an area where you know that they're having too many, please call that in, because while we're catching some each weekend and telling people to get their once a quarter permit and have no more, we know there's more out there and we need to go find them.
So there is that 311 app that you have available to you. Is that, how do you want people to be using that app to make sure that they're communicating with code compliance in an appropriate way?
Thank you. The app is a wonderful resource. You can download it via the app stores on the iOS, or you can do it through the Android market. And you don't need to know the address. You can take a picture of the violation. It geo-validates it for you, and you click send. It addresses the most common type of violations for not only COVID enforcement, but also the city of San Antonio's various departments, streets, and animal care. You can report a loose dog. You can report a pothole. You can report an overgrown vegetation, a junk vehicle. Either that, you could call 311, or you can also go to our website, sanantonio.gov/DSD, and you can register a complaint there via our code enforcement portal. And earlier someone mentioned proactive investigations. Do code officers go out there? We absolutely do. Stop a code officer. Let us know. Get to know us. We'd love to meet you.
And so what is the future of code compliance? They're making some changes. So does that mean you're getting tougher? Does that mean you're being more understanding? Is more kinder and gentler code enforcement? What is the future here? Really quickly, 30 seconds, Michael.
Well, we just want to get out and do correct as many violations as we can. Certainly, we need the public to help us. So, you know, sometimes we need to be tough, and other times we need to be understanding. So, finding that right balance is always our goal. But really, we want to be out there cleaning up the city, and we'll do that with the citizens, with our code officers, and we just want to do as much as we can, as fast as we can.
And there's lots of options connecting people with organizations who can help them. You have tools and other things that you can loan out. But the main thing is to communicate your needs and your predicament and maybe work something out, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So we're talking about code compliance. A lot of calls. Sorry, callers. I couldn't get all of you on the air, but this was such a popular topic. We're going to have these guys back again. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio with Michael Shannon and Martin Ruiz with Code Compliance. Thanks for tuning us in.